Hello everyone, it's Nico here. Today I'm so excited to be here today because I'm the host. This podcast series has been commissioned by the Mental Health Foundation. The topic for our podcast today is, This is What Hope Looks Like. This campaign aims to bring hope to people seeking asylum and refugees. This podcast series is part of the Elevate project, which is funded by the Scottish Government. What does the Mental Health Foundation do? I am taking this from their website, www.mentalhealth.org.uk. The Mental Health Foundation works towards good mental health for all. As everyone knows, prevention is better than cure. Everything we do is focused on protecting people's mental health. Their vision is for a world with good mental health for all. With prevention at the in the heart of what they do, they aim to find and address the sources of mental health problems so that people and communities can strive. Let's welcome our guest for today. Please can introduce yourself and tell us where are you, what you do.
Hey guys, my name is Etienne Kubwabo. I'm a film director and a comic book creator, the creator of Scotland's first black superhero comic book called Beats of War. And yeah, I dream for a living, tell stories to give people hope.
You know, as an artist like yourself, you travel around the world, you see in lots of places, and the work you do as well. I'm just asking about the talent you have and what is the most active hope do you have? And when it comes to like really say this is I'm hoping and I'm achieving this, or I'm still going to achieve this, but I'm still hoping that I'll get there, as you said. But I want you to look at when it comes to, imagine if you're a refugee, what hopes would you give them? Or some people who are dealing with mental health.
My hope when I got this country was to do something I was really excited about, something that I was excited to wake up every morning and do. And it's taken me 10 years to get to this dream, because the whole process of getting papers, you know, yourself, it's really complicated. You can tamper with your mental health. And for me, I was like, once I leave this stage of my life and I'm on the other side where there is opportunities, I'm going to push myself and push myself and constantly remember where I come from. And I can just say that it's taken me 10 years to actually catch up with my hope and things that I've hoped to do. And can I just say, every day you're constantly working on it. It's never like you wake up and it's a perfect day, right? Human beings, we are very complicated creatures. So even if you get to what you wanted to do, you want to get more, you want to get more, you want to get there. But I try to always stay back and be grateful, where just to remember where I started off when I really hoped for things I do have for today. And it's a great feeling. It's a great feeling to be able to say that all the things that I've, it's a great feeling to say that all the things I've hoped for, I've been able to achieve right now.
Oh, that's amazing. That's amazing. Okay, tell me, what's the secret of you for keep moving and keep going? And what methods do you use to actually, when it comes to challenges like mental health, coping with hopes as well?
When I did storytelling, when I started tapping into stories that I've always imagined as a child growing up, that gave me so much hope. And I know, like, coming from Africa and our culture, when you start telling, you're a filmmaker, a writer, a comic book writer, people think that you're crazy. But having these stories that I've been writing, they act as escapism for me. And that gives me hope. Even if I know things that I'm trying to get to right now are not working out, writing these stories give me hope to know that tomorrow could be better, but because the stories are hopeful, you know, they are empowering.
It's very stressful to be an artist as well, like yourself. I'm talking about my own experience as well. I've been there and I'm still there. I know it can be really, really stressful. It's not what people see, what they think. And when they see all these things, hard work comes out, like, oh, this person is happy, he's doing well, great, great. But would you agree with me on this point?
It's very stressful, but I think in the real world, the first thing that I've always looked at to give me hope, and especially to deal with my mental health, is to think about the moment I was in Africa, think about the moment when I was still waiting for my papers, and things were really, really tough, and it was really stressful. And I try to be grateful to be in this moment, to be able to say, okay, I have my papers, I can travel, I can do this, I can access these sort of benefits that other citizens do access. And the other thing I do that is quite, it's gonna sound a bit stupid, but I do it and it does help me. Because apart from telling stories, I made friends all around the world. And these friends of mine introduced me to doing cold showers. Cold showers are the most uncomfortable thing to do, but it can just switch your mental state. I don't know how it works. I don't understand the science, but it does work for me. I feel much more calm and I can go maybe for a walk after that. And then I can try again tomorrow or maybe 3, 4 hours later, I can go back to that thing that was stressing me, that thing that was getting me panicking. So when you talked about film and the way to manage actors, I'll tell you, when I was making my first film, I was doing cold showers every morning and at night, every morning at night to keep me calm. Because for some reason, I'm just calm after cold water. It's just hard to explain. So those are the two things I do. Cold showers, I go for a walk, and most importantly, I become grateful for what I have and in the moment that I'm in right now.
Man, I'm sorry I'm laughing because when you talk about cold water, I'm thinking I live in Scotland, right? Cold water is no for me, but I'm glad it works for you. But I've got this question now. Like, for example, if somebody is a refugee right now or asylum seeker and is dealing with mental health, but he wants to be a filmmaker, what advice would you give them?
To do a film, I think do something that is quite personal. The difference between us, it's a film that actually touched on my mental health or the things I was dealing with as a child who was adopted growing up. And I didn't quite feel that I fit in the new family that took me in. And all that has been padding on my head my entire life, even as becoming a filmmaker and a director. And I felt like for me to move forward, to feel that I've moved on to another stage of my life, I need to touch on this subject that was affecting my mental health. So that film was a reflection of my life. And hopefully, like if somebody wants to get into film, do something that is giving hope to the world. Because there's so many films nowadays which are cool and fun, but what are you adding to humanity? So with The Difference Between Us, I was, you know, like when you're in a shell and you finally come out of the shell and you show the world who you really are. So they know who you are as a person. And I feel like doing that film freed me and gave me hope. And I'm more excited than ever to do more projects that are even not the same genre.
Have you been involved with a mental health foundation before? What I mean, like, do you ever done any project with them? Or is just the first time today on this podcast?
I mean, we got involved in the Mental Health Art Festival where we showed the film last year. And I was super grateful and humbled that you guys picked my film to be screened. So, because the film touches on those subjects as well. So, when I got contacted by yourselves, I was like, this is perfect fitting. And I think the film will speak to a lot of people. And previously, I've gotten involved in other charities, just helping people, food banks. Doing charity work and yeah, just feeling like I'm giving back to the community. And I do a lot of workshops with young people, both unpaid or paid, whenever. But I feel like every time I feel like I'm giving something to the community, I feel like it gives me hope and gives those people I'm serving a good hope for the future.
Oh, that's amazing. That's amazing. That's great work. Keep going. Keep going. Doing good work. There's one thing that I always have to ask people when you come to this podcast. As an artist, as a stand-up comedian, I have experienced this all the time, over and over and over. And when I want to talk about it, they always say, Nico, you are dramatic. Do they ever, ever experience racism during your work or what you do right now as a filmmaker in Scotland?
I remember experienced that in Scotland when I took my car for servicing, and then Arnold Clark gave me like a brand new Mercedes that just came out like the year before. And I drove that around Glasgow. I was going to see some friends, and I got stopped by the police 10 times in 1 week. Seven times with the same police officers, and they were asking me the same question. You could tell they were like looking at my face saying, no black guy that looks like this could own this car. I could see them. I'm like, we met yesterday. We had this conversation where you keep calling me. So I think when that happened, and then we had a few people that throw stones on our house where we used to live in Postal Park, I was like, how can I? Because I saw my friends who react and they want to fight everything. But me, I use stories to deal with my issues, because everything I cannot tackle in the real world, I'll put it in the story, and I have my characters that give me hope to deal with these issues. So that's how I'm able to escape these things. Sometimes when I tell people that my comic books and my superhero stories do give me a lot of hope and escapism from the real world, they're like, oh, you're crazy. But it does, because you don't know which kid is going to read it. You don't know who else is going to read it, who's going through the same thing, and they feel like there's something even greater within them, which is going to give them hope. So, yeah, I face those a lot, and I'm an artist, so I'm going to put it in my art.
All I can say, man, I can say sorry what happened to you and as well, and I'm happy that you've got a very good method as an artist to use that to actually heal yourself and get forward. But I can imagine people don't have those skills. You know, I mean, like racism can actually increase mental health and put fear and takes all the hopes you have in your life. Because, you know, I mean, we are living in the world where we have to try to fit in, you know, every day. Get out and in, outside as well. It's a very difficult one. But, I'm so happy that today I'm talking to you, sharing your own experience in this podcast. It might actually enable other people to be creative, to have hopes as well.
Yeah, that could make you see, because a lot of people have a short temper, and in that moment, anything could happen to anybody, you know. And my hope is that, I think for me, reasons why I've learned how to control this, I used to DJ in clubs, used to see a lot of things that happen, a lot of fights and everything. And I've noticed that how you react to a situation as a person gives the other person power, right? So if I don't react at all in a situation that is dangerous, or they are confused, they're like, why is that person not acting the way they're supposed to act? I want to fight, I want you to argue, but I do not. I just stay still, and then I may go home and scream with my pillow and, you know, talk to my mom about it or my sister. But just learning how to contain yourself, it gives you so much power. Just look beyond on how one small, you know, punch or something could create a lot of damage and criminal record, all that. I don't want that. You know, I just want the freedom. I want the hope. So I go and use art to escape from all this. And I know a lot of people may not be able to deal with it like me, but slowly and slowly, if you start practicing it, things like that, and maybe speaking to somebody about it, it does help.
I believe you just come back from Africa, right? You went to do one of your films screened there in Rwanda. I'm just wondering, did you hear anybody in Africa talking about mental health, or someone trying to raise awareness, or any conversation with someone as an artist, or is just quiet?
Africa, not in Africa, people, I think it's like a taboo to talk about mental health. I didn't even know anything about mental health until I got to Scotland, to the UK. You know, so, and then when I looked at him, I was like, God damn, I had these mental health issues all the way of my life when I was in Africa. So I think it's like a taboo, but I think having my film get screened in Rwanda, but also having it screened in other parts of the world, there's a message that a lot of human beings, because we are all human beings, doesn't matter. There's a message that would speak to different people who watch the movie. And it could be the story of Alex, or the story of Laura or Michael. These different reflections of of our personas in the film. And I'm happy that it got screened in Rwanda. And those people who are dealing with mental health when they don't even know, I'm sure it affected them in a way, and hopefully they can. It leaves them hope. You know, it's the whole point of making art or film is to create a statement or leave something with the audience. So the film being screened there, I'm sure there are some people who have gone home hopeful, and people who have gone home feeling much better because maybe they've been in my shoes, you know, because there's a lot of kids who are orphans. There's a lot of kids who have gone through things and they're adults and they didn't realize how it's been affecting them their whole entire life. So yeah, it's a very exciting journey for me, and I'm glad it got shown there.
I just wanted to say well done again and congrats for your film showing in Africa. That's amazing. That's really, really, really good. But I've got a question for you. Do you have any hope that one day you will do a film in Scotland about raising mental health awareness, especially focusing on our communities? When I mean our communities, I'm talking about refugees and asylum seekers and the people come from outside of Scotland. We did not know about mental health. And would you do something like that?
I would either support somebody who has a script and wants to get it made, and also would collaborate with somebody who wants to come on board on our crew to work together. And I think for me, I'm just building a community, and I'm actually trying to get a lot of people from different cultures to come and be part of the production company, be part of what we are creating, which is really tough in the film industry in Scotland. It's hard to get black people to get involved in film. In London, it's different, you know. So, and I'm trying to encourage them, come on, let's go, let's tell these stories, let these stories be out. And I'll definitely be up for working with different people who have different stories and support them in any way possible.
I just want to thank you so much for coming to the podcast tonight. And it was really, really great talking to you. And I'm sure all the listeners will enjoy this episode. But I've got a last question for you. If there's any hope you have for Mental Health Foundation or any idea, tell us what will be, what do you hope for Mental Health Foundation?
My hope is so that an organization like yourself keep doing these festivals, keep doing these podcasts, keep getting people together and supporting people the way they're supporting. Because I think through community, that's where most of the things are done. You know, I'm not a political guy. I'm more like I believe so much in community and these organizations that deal with these issues, because you find real people who have had these experiences. So my hope is that you keep doing what you're doing with the organization, and I hope that organizations that give you funding, where you find fun, you keep getting more money. And hopefully, when my big studio becomes big, as it's going to be, I'll be giving some money to organizations yourself to keep doing the work that you're doing.
Okay, thank you so much, man, for coming to the podcast. It's wonderful talking to you. And yes, I'm really, really, really learned a lot as well as we go. I hope our listeners did the same. Now we're coming to the end of the podcast. I'm just going to end up by, for more information and to be involved with the Mental Health Foundation, so you can contact Miley Saki, Program Development Officer, Refugee and Asylum Seekers. His email is musky@mentalhealth.org.uk, or you can phone the office 0141 060 632, or you can go to www.mentalhealth.org.uk. You can find this episode as well on Spotify via the Kluma We Talk podcast, on Apple and Anchor everywhere, and please share it with your networks. Thank you.